Every year on the 1st of August, it's not just Spring Day, because here on Chai FM we are early adopters. We put Spring Day on the 1st of August, but it's also Marine Protected Areas Day. So I think that even though we are inland and we are landlocked, I think it's important that we find out about all these days. So joining me is Helen Lockhart. She's a Conservation and Sustainability Manager at Marine Protected Areas. We're talking about Marine Protected Areas. How are you, Helen?
I'm good, thanks. And you, Kathy?
Very well, thank you. So Marine Protected Areas, what does that actually mean?
So, I'm from the Two Oceans Aquarium, and the Two Oceans Aquarium actually launched MPA Day in 2021. And marine protected areas are basically like the Kruger National Park of the sea. They are like nature reserves, but in the sea. And they are areas where we are trying to protect various forms of marine life, as well as ecosystems, so that the ocean can be kept in balance and also be kept healthy, because healthy oceans mean healthy planet, which means healthy people.
Right.
So marine protected areas are sort of like an investment where, you know, you can draw off the interest, but the investment is there for the future. And that's basically what marine protected areas are all about.
How much are you in control of the environment, though?
So firstly, just to let you know that marine protected areas are in different habitats. So some of them are on the coast and some of them are further offshore.
Okay.
And each marine protected area has been selected because of a particular ecosystem or habitat. And obviously, you know, it's very difficult to control these areas without active monitoring.
Yes.
There is monitoring in some areas. And also, just to say that marine protected areas, a lot of people sort of think in their mind that these are areas where you're not allowed to do anything. And that's not really the case. So in some areas, you can do certain things. You can snorkel. You can do some kinds of fishing. You can go walking. You can go diving. You can go kayaking. And then other areas are sort of what we call no-take zones. So you cannot fish in those areas. And that's basically because we're trying to protect the fish species that are there.
Helen, so, do you get a lot of support from government?
So government in which year was it? I can't remember exactly what year it was, but government actually proclaimed an additional number of MPAs. So that's brought us to 41 different marine protected areas. So from that perspective, government are the ones who obviously do the of marine protected areas,
right.
And they are increasingly supportive and interested in getting involved in Marine Protected Areas Day, MPA Day. So hopefully this time next year they will be fully on board with us.
I was having a conversation with the weatherman Pete yesterday, and he's a climatologist, and he was actually saying that in terms of the water, I mean, you've seen that viral video, right, from, I think it was Sea Point or one of those beaches, about the woman swimming in the bubbles.
No.
You haven't seen it? Anyway, it's raw sewage. And what he said is, you know, the government can't build a sewage plant right on the coast, because there's just no room for it. So what they do is they have some kind of treatment, but there's a lot of stuff that goes into the sea. How do you control that? That's what I was kind of alluding to earlier about having these marine safe areas.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, there is a lot of pollution in the ocean, not only sewage pollution, but also,
plastics.
You know, plastic pollution. You know, chemical pollution, all sorts of other things. Without having seen that video of the woman swimming, it is also possible, I'm not disputing that it wasn't sewage, because we are, you know, there is an issue with the city of Cape Town at the moment in terms of sewage and the ocean. But it is also possible when we have these very big storms off the Cape Coast, which we have in winter, obviously, what happens is that the ocean is obviously stirred up because there's a lot of swell and a lot of surge, and it creates this sort of foam, because that's all the organic products being broken down, so bits of kelp all broken down, and it creates this foam, which can look like some kind of pollutant, but it's actually a natural phenomenon.
Yeah.
So as not having seen that video, I don't want to say yes, it was for sure the sort of foam from the storms. But as I say, in terms of protecting the ocean, marine protected areas are one way of doing this. And the other is for us all to play our part. You are, landlocked. Absolutely. People living up in Joburg or other parts of the country, not close to the coast, can absolutely play their part, because whatever we do on land affects the ocean. Everything is connected. All our rivers flow to the ocean. All our drains flow to the ocean. So whatever we can do inland to protect our oceans will actually go a long way to helping the ocean wherever you are.
So what can we do tomorrow as a landlocked community?
So as a landlocked community, I mean, firstly, there is at 3:30 tomorrow afternoon, half past two tomorrow afternoon, there is a virtual tour for Marine Protectors Day, which is being hosted by the Daily Maverick. And if you just go to the Daily Maverick and look up events on the Daily Maverick page, you'll find the virtual tour. So that's something
that's wonderful.
Tune in and watch and find out. But otherwise, what you can also do is pick up litter. You don't have to go to a river. You don't pick up litter wherever you are. If you're walking in the street, or if you're in a school and there's litter, or just in a neighborhood and you see litter, pick up litter.
Yeah.
We can also do things like using environmentally friendly responsible products in our homes. So things that don't have heavy chemicals, things that have natural ingredients, that'll also go a long way towards protecting our ocean. And also looking at the food we eat. So two things that we can do. One thing is to consider the fish consumption, seafood consumption. Try and choose seafood that is sustainable, so from populations that are plentiful. And for that, there is the SASSI app, the South African Seafood Initiative. And that's an app that people can look up, and then it gives you input into choosing your seafood. The other alternative is also to look at a more plant-based diet, because in terms of climate change, one of the contributions, the big contributions, is farming of livestock. And the livestock obviously produce methane, and that, as well as, take up great amounts of land, for not only for food production to feed that livestock, but also land on which they live. So that's one of the things that you can do, and that'll help reduce your carbon footprint, which will have a positive impact on the ocean, because with climate change, the ocean is not only getting warmer, which is affecting our climate, but it's also becoming more acidic, which obviously then affects the various animals that are living in the ocean. So those are just a handful of things that one can do in a landlocked
very
situation.
Very practical. Very practical. Heather Lockhart, thank you very, very much. And all the best to you and your team at Two Oceans Aquarium for this initiative. Really wonderful. Helen is the Conservation and Sustainability Manager at Two Oceans Aquarium. Just those details. If you want to, you can join the virtual tour tomorrow. It's being hosted by the Daily Maverick, and it's at 2:30 p.m. Tomorrow being the 1st of August, it is Marine Protected Areas Day.